From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news read by Rahmawati. First, the headlines. President welcomes inauguration of Syariah Economic Brand. Minister says investment authority to help attract funding, boost welfare. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has welcomed the inauguration of the Syariah Economic Brand to increase public awareness of Syariah economic activities. As reported by Antara News Agency, the president of the launch of the National Movement for Cash Wakaf and inauguration of the Syariah Economic Brand at the State Palace in Jakarta on Monday stated, he welcomes the inauguration of the Syariah Economic Brand. This is very important to increase public awareness as support for Syariah economic activities. The president, who is also chairman of the National Committee on Syariah Economics and Finance, said the Syariah economic brand will join forces to increase the added value of the Syariah economy in Indonesia. The president further said the Syariah economy still has enormous potential to be developed. Syariah economic development is not only being carried out by countries with a majority Muslim population, but also other countries such as Japan, Thailand, Britain, and the United States. Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati on Monday said there were several factors behind the government's decision to establish the Indonesia Investment Authority, including the need for improving public welfare and infrastructure. As quoted by Antara News Agency, she said at a joint meeting with Commission 11 of the Indonesian Parliament that the government needs funds to create various innovative instruments and institutions that can increase the capacity to finance development. She added the government needs large funds to improve the welfare of the Indonesian people, and therefore it has formed the INA or Indonesia Investment Authority. She noted Indonesia is aiming to be among the 5 strongest countries in the world by 2045, and the estimated investment needed for infrastructure will reach more than 6 trillion rupiah. The funds are expected to be derived from the state budget, BUMN or state enterprises, and the government in cooperation with business entities. Singapore remained the largest investor in Indonesia last year, with investments totaling $9.8 billion. Next was China with an investment of $4.8 billion, followed by Hong Kong with $3.5 billion, Japan with $2.6 billion, and South Korea with $1.8 billion. It was stated by the Investment Coordinating Board or BKPM chief Bahlil Lahadalia during an online press conference on Monday, as quoted by Antara News Agency. He specifically highlighted the investment made by Japan and South Korea. In the fourth quarter of 2020, South Korea invested more than $650 million, overtaking Japan, which pumped in more than $400 million as the fourth largest investor in Indonesia. But overall, Japan was still ahead of South Korea in terms of foreign investors in Indonesia last year. Lahadalia informs in the fourth quarter of 2020, South Korea was ahead of Japan. But cumulatively, Japan was ahead of South Korea. The difference in their investment is small, which is $800 million. Over 10,000 investors, including 500 foreign investors, embassy representatives, and customers of Bank Mandiri's foreign offices managing assets of nearly $4 trillion, will participate in the Mandiri Investment Forum, or MIF, 2021 on February 1st to the 5th. The forum will be organized by Bank Mandiri in cooperation with Mandiri Sekuritas and supported by the Investment Coordinating Board, or BKPM. It was stated by Director of Treasury and International Banking of Bank Mandiri, Panji Irawan, during a virtual press conference on Monday, as quoted by Antara News Agency. Irawan highlighted the significance of holding the forum to create synergy among investors, business actors, and stakeholders to enable them to seize investment opportunities that can help boost Indonesia's economic growth. Held for the 10th time, Bank Mandiri is optimistic that this forum would become a platform for the government to convey policy directions that have been outlined in the National Economic Recovery Program to investors comprehensively, so that it can raise their confidence to expand business in Indonesia. Now we move to international news. U.S. President Joe Biden signed an order on Monday barring most non-U.S. citizens who have recently been in South Africa from entering the United States, effective on Saturday. As reported by Reuters.com on Tuesday, Biden's order also reimposes an entry ban, set to expire on Tuesday, on nearly all non-U.S. travelers who have been in Brazil, the United Kingdom, Ireland, and 26 countries in Europe that allow travel across open borders. Last week, then-US President Donald Trump revoked those restrictions which were imposed last year, effective Tuesday. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki said at a news briefing that with the pandemic worsening and more contagious variants spreading, this isn't the time to be lifting restrictions on international travel. South Africa's foreign ministry did not immediately comment. Some health officials are concerned current vaccines may not be effective against the South Africa COVID-19 variant, which also raises the prospect of reinfection. South Korea's economy grew at a faster-than-expected pace in the fourth quarter as it ended the coronavirus-stricken year solidly, poised for a recovery in 2021 thanks to surging exports. As reported by Reuters.com on Tuesday, gross domestic product grew a seasonally adjusted 1.1% in the December quarter from the September quarter, the Bank of Korea said on Tuesday, faster than the median estimate of 0.7% in a Reuters poll and following a 2.1% expansion in the September quarter. That limited the contraction over the whole year to 1.0%, which is likely to be the smallest GDP slump among the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development in the year of the pandemic that killed more than 2 million worldwide. South Korea's economy has been rebounding sharply since the second quarter, when it experienced its sharpest downturn since 2008. But the recovery from the virus-hit downturn has been uneven. December exports surged 12.6% from a year earlier, the sharpest expansion in 26 months. We end the news with Moderna's COVID vaccine that appears to work against new, more infectious variants of the pandemic virus found in the UK and South Africa, say scientists from the US pharmaceutical company. As quoted by BBC.com on Monday, early laboratory tests suggest antibodies triggered by the vaccine can recognize and fight the new variants. More studies are needed to confirm this is true for people who have been vaccinated. The new variants have been spreading fast in a number of nations. They have undergone changes or mutation that mean they can infect human cells more easily than the original version of coronavirus that started the pandemic. Experts think the UK strain, which emerged in September, may be up to 70% more transmissible. Well, listener, that was the news.
The government of Indonesia has decided to establish an investment management institution, LPI, or the Indonesia Investment Authority, INA. This institution will soon be inaugurated by President Joko Widodo. In a hearing with Commission 11 of the House of Representatives, DPR, on Monday, Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani explained to DPR members the government's steps in preparing LPI's initial capital. She also explained that the government has prepared an initial capital worth at least 15 trillion rupiah, so that this amount would gradually increase to 75 trillion rupiah until the end of 2021. Answering a question from Commission 11, Minister Sri Mulyani explained that the capital amounting to 15 trillion rupiah will come from cash to the state-owned enterprises, SOEs, namely by transferring government shares in it. The idea of establishing the LPI makes Indonesians think of a similar institution owned by Malaysia with the name One Malaysia Development Berhad, or ONE-MDB. The existence of the agency became the biggest corruption scandal after Prime Minister Najib Razak allegedly abused his power to use the ONE-MDB management fund worth $4.5 billion. However, Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati ensured that the LPI would not trip over a mega corruption scandal like 1MDB. She also ensured that the government had strengthened efforts at the good governance in the institution from the start of the recruitment process for the three members of the LPI's supervisory board who come from professionals. Minister Sri Mulyani also emphasized that the foundation for transparency and accountability needs to be built from the beginning,
especially in the initial decision of the supervisory board, which is the initial regulation, and becomes the regulatory foundation for the board of directors to carry out their duties. Of course, the Indonesian people do hope that what Minister Sri Mulyani said will come true. The government, along with the DPR, is expected to cooperate to select the right members of the LPI supervisory board. They also have to think about, if necessary, making laws or regulation that can protect and prevent anyone who is the supervisory board members and managers of the LPIs from corruption. Because the fund to be managed is huge and important, this is an endowment fund that is expected to always exist even if a government keeps changing. Whoever is in power cannot abuse it. That was commentary. I'll start today in history with January 26, 1950, when India becomes a republic. On January 26, 1950, India's system of government was changed to a republic. 3 years earlier, in August 1947, the Indian nation declared its independence from British rule. After going through various internal conflicts between Muslims and Hindus, finally in 1949, the Indian constitution was formulated, and a year later, the Republic of India was born. The power to regulate government in India is mostly in the hands of the Prime Minister, who is directly elected by the people. Let's move on to January 26, 1952. The World Customs Organization is founded. The establishment of the World Customs Organization, or WCO, on January 26, 1952 was an important milestone in the history of world customs. Prior to the existence of the WCO, regulations regarding customs were considered to hinder trade between countries due to regulations that are incompatible with other countries, too burdensome to trade, and there is no specific standard in trading. For this reason, in the beginning, trade agreements were formed, both bilateral and groups such as the European Union, which then expanded throughout the world, and the WCO was formed. January 26 was later designated as an International Customs Day. I'll end today in history with January 26, 2001, when Gujarat in India is rocked by an earthquake. An earthquake measuring 7.9 on the Richter scale rocked and destroyed the state of Gujarat, India. The quake killed nearly 20,000 people, injured more than 166,000, and left about 1 million people homeless. Bhuj and Ahmedabad are the small cities that have been hardest hit. That was today in history. Ada kalanya sunyi bersuara, hanya perlu menikmati diam, memahami semua yang terjadi. Tak sekalipun
asalkan saling punya. akhirnya satu hari nantinya semua ini akan jadi cerita yang indah.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indonesian Ambassador to Thailand and United Nations Economic and Social Commission for Asia and Pacific, UNESCAP, Rahmat Budiman, paid a courtesy visit to the Executive Secretary of UNESCAP, Armida Ali Shahbana, recently. During the meeting, Ambassador Rahmat Budiman conveyed Indonesia's strong commitment to keep realizing the Sustainable Development Goals, SDG, even amid the COVID-19 pandemic. As quoted on the kemlu.go.id page on this occasion, Ambassador Rahmat also delivered a letter of introduction from Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Retno Marsudi, to the Executive Secretary of UNESCAP, Armida, which marked the start of Ambassador Rahmat's assignment as Indonesian Permanent Representative for UNESCAP. Ambassador Rahmat welcomed the extension of Armida's mandate as Executive Secretary of UNESCAP until the end of 2022. And emphasize the support of the Indonesian government through the Indonesian Embassy in Bangkok for the successful implementation of this mandate. In addition, Indonesia will continue its active role and leadership at the UNESCAP in encouraging the implementation of various global and regional agreements, especially the Sustainable Development Goals, through capacity building and technical assistance in line with Indonesia's common and national interest. Ambassador Rahmat also hopes that UNESCAP could continue to encourage strengthening of multilateral cooperation and diplomacy in the region, including ensuring vaccine access and affordability for all countries towards economic and social recovery in the Asia-Pacific region. In the next 2 years, Indonesia will also launch various thematic initiatives, including vegetables oil for sustainable development, creative economy, and disaster risk reduction. Armida Ali Shahbana welcomed the commitment of Ambassador Rahmat and Indonesia and appreciated Indonesia's active participation and leadership in various UNESCAP forums so far. She also hopes for the continuation of this in various future meetings, including the annual meeting of the 77th UNESCAP Commission session with the team Building Back Better from Crisis through Regional Cooperation in Asia and the Pacific on April 27 to 29, 2021. Indonesia, through the Indonesian Embassy in Bangkok, will coordinate closely with UNESCAP to ensure that Indonesia's multilateral diplomacy produces concrete cooperation that is beneficial not only for the welfare of the people in Indonesia, but also the prosperity in countries in the Asia-Pacific region.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo the getting over dragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Thank you.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Hello listener, in today's Indonesian Wonder, this is Rahma. I'm going to take you to visit Tumpak Sewu Waterfall. This waterfall is said to be the most beautiful waterfall on the island of Java. Tumpak Sewu Waterfall or Coban Sewu is a waterfall with a height of about 120 meters. The location is in Jagalan Hamlet, Sidomulyo Village, Pronojiwo District, Lumajang Regency. From the city center of Lumajang, it takes 1.5 hours by car. Arriving at the location, you have to pay an entrance ticket of 10,000 rupiah per person and walk 200 meters to enjoy the beauty of the waterfall up close. Tumpak Sewu Waterfall has a unique formation because it has flowing water like a curtain. Traveling to Tumpak Sewu Waterfall, there are various tourist activities that you can do. Here, you can enjoy the view of the waterfall. You only need to walk 400 meters to get to the Panorama Post or Gardu Pandang Panorama. Panorama Post is a place designed by the management for tourists with protection from ravine made of bamboo. There is a higher area where you can enjoy the waterfall view and take pictures with the background of the Tumpak Sewu waterfall. The view of the waterfall itself is quite unique because of its semicircular shape. Usually, waterfalls come from rivers only, but Tumpak Sewu waterfall comes from a spring and comes out of a cliff. Listener, you can also do trekking from the panorama post to the valley of the waterfall. You will pass a dirt track with a combination of bamboo, which is quite steep, going down through a small waterfall. For trekking, you should go with a guide. In the valley of Tumpak Sewu Waterfall, you will be invited to walk through the cliffs that flank and cross the river. Apart from Tumpak Sewu Waterfall, there are also many small waterfalls here. They are not as tall as Tumpak Sewu, but they are also wonderful. The flow is so clear and cold, typical of mountain water. This small waterfall empties into a small pool below it. You can also plunge into the pool. Besides waterfall, there is also a cave here. This cave is called Bidadari Cave. You can enter it. Tumpak Sewu Tourism Object is equipped with various facilities, such as parking lots, toilets, restaurants, and prayer rooms. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder over Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chaku yo shite, COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bishaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
For COVID, the getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19-Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Today's theme is Siapa Pemenangnya? Or in English, Who is the Winner? Next, I will give an example of a conversation on Siapa Pemenangnya? Siapa Pemenangnya? Or in English, Who is the Winner? Kevin and Rama were talking on the sidewalk.
Rama, apakah kamu masih ingat dengan hasil pemilu sebelumnya?
Masih, kenapa memangnya?
Siapa yang memenangkan pemilu tersebut?
Suara terbanyak diraih oleh partai berbendera putih.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce his phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, namely, Siapa Pemenangnya? Siapa Pemenangnya? Which means, who is the winner? I will say the words twice and you can repeat after me. Apakah kamu masih ingat dengan hasil pemilu sebelumnya? Apakah kamu masih ingat dengan hasil pemilu sebelumnya? Which means, do you still remember the previous election results? Masih? Kenapa memangnya? Masih? Kenapa memangnya? Which means, yes, why? Siapa yang memenangkan pemilu tersebut? Siapa yang memenangkan pemilu tersebut? Which means, who won the election? Siapa yang menang? Siapa yang menang? Which means, who won? Suara terbanyak diraih oleh partai berbendera putih. Suara terbanyak diraih oleh partai berbendera putih. Which means the party with the white flag won the most votes. Suara terbanyak. Suara terbanyak, which means most votes. Suara paling banyak. Suara paling banyak, which means most votes. The expression of superlative comparison is used to compare the level of one object which is higher than other objects. In the dialogue, Kevin asks about the winner of the previous election, which meant the party with the highest position. Then Rama answered, Suara terbanyak diraih oleh partai berbendera putih. Suara terbanyak diraih oleh partai berbendera putih, which means most votes were won by parties with white flags. The words spoken by Rama could be expressed in another way, like Suara paling banyak diraih oleh partai berbendera putih. Suara paling banyak diraih oleh partai berbendera putih, which means the most votes were won by parties with white flags. Some other examples of using superlative comparative expression are as follows. Candi Borobudur adalah candi terbesar di dunia. Candi Borobudur adalah candi terbesar di dunia, which means Candi Borobudur is the largest temple in the world. Burj Khalifa adalah gedung tertinggi di dunia. Burj Khalifa adalah gedung tertinggi di dunia, which means Burj Khalifa is the tallest building in the world. Reza adalah murid paling tinggi di kelasnya. Reza adalah murid paling tinggi di kelasnya, which means Reza is the tallest student in his class. Before ending Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian today, for more details, let's listen to the sample of conversation one more time.
Rama, apakah kamu masih ingat dengan hasil pemilu sebelumnya?
Masih, kenapa memangnya?
Siapa yang memenangkan pemilu tersebut?
Suara terbanyak diraih oleh partai berbendera putih.
Listener, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. I'm Duka Kusumawati. I'll see you next week.
Tanganku ini tak mampu berhenti menuliskan namamu untuk sekian kali. 3 jam sudah waktu berlalu, masih saja ku tersenyum karenamu. Aku padamu, aku padamu, aku padamu, aku padamu, aku padamu, aku padamu, aku padamu. Malam pun tahu aku padamu, bintang pun menyertai. Malam pun tahu aku padamu, bintang pun menyertai. Begitu mengganggu nari-nari dalam alunan emosi, semakin ku percaya akan hadirmu di sini bagai rima dalam puisi terindah.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a Malay song entitled Robo Robo by Doni Perdana. Composed by Eddie Mawardi, this song is a regional song of Mempawah Regency, West Kalimantan. This song tells the story of the Robo-Robo traditional ceremony that is performed by the local community. In the lyrics, the Robo-Robo ceremony is held on Tuesday in the Islamic month of Safar to give thanks and at the same time avert calamity. Music and the song itself has a medium tempo with Malay music accompaniment. Well, listener, here is the song Robo Robo by Doni Perdana. Enjoy!
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.